Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Hope no one is in a funk this Wednesday. Can't believe we're wrapping up the end of May soon. Wow. Time is flying. Summer is just around the corner. All right, so if you're not familiar with the show, you can head over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, and I'm so excited about this week's guest kicking off the show. Andrew Davies Gans is joining us to talk about his documentary, Voices, The Danny Gans Story, a heartfelt documentary on Cal Poly SLO alum and Las Vegas legend Danny Gans. And Andrew is joining us now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, I was thinking about you as a guest this morning because my show is Get the Funk Out, and it came about because of loss. And one of the beautiful things about the show is when people like you come on and they share a story, which is really hard, but through this, you created something so meaningful. And I think about all the people who had an opportunity to see your dad in Vegas and all over. Tell me about why, you know, how you came about at this time to create this documentary about your dad.
It had been something that I had thought about for a while, and it was actually on the 10th anniversary of my dad's death that I had gotten together with my mom and my sisters for dinner. We always try to get together on either his birthday or the anniversary of his passing. And that particular year, the 10th year, it just kind of struck me, and I was talking to them about how I felt disappointed that the city of Las Vegas and, you know, just the entertainment world had just kind of moved on so quickly and didn't remember him in the way I felt he truly deserved. Yeah. And I felt that I wanted to do something about that. And at the time, I had been producing films for several years, and I felt that I had enough experience and confidence in myself as a filmmaker and a storyteller to be able to tackle this project. And so that was really the genesis of this journey. And I spoke to my mom about it, and she gave me her blessing. And
that's great.
I interviewed her first, actually. She was my first interview, and I put together a little teaser reel and went out and, you know, got all the financing that way. And, you know, here we are several years later with the finished product and going to film festivals and looking at getting distribution now.
That's great. So, Andrew, what was it like growing up with a father who was such a public figure?
You know, I get asked that frequently, and I don't really know anything different. So It was normal to me. I knew that my dad had a really cool job, and it was kind of fun to see his face on billboards driving down the street.
Oh, I bet.
But you know, other than the occasional, like, bullying or, you know, getting treated differently, it was fairly normal because when my dad was at home, he was very much just dad. He was very present. He was playful. He was fun. And while it was challenging for him to be present with us because his work schedule was so demanding and he worked in the evening, so while we're at school doing normal things, you know, he's at home resting. And then when we get home is typically the time that he would go to work. So we crossed paths quite a bit, but on the days that he wasn't working, he made sure that those days were very important and he was very present for that. But, you know, I think the hardest part, I guess, came in adulthood after my dad had passed, because I felt like I struggled to find my own identity and my own path outside of, you know, his shadow. And that took me some time while I was grieving the loss of my father, simultaneously trying to figure out who I was and what I was going to do. Because up until that point, all I really dreamed about was becoming a professional baseball player. And
that's right.
I suffered a career-ending injury 2 weeks after my dad passed away. So I was dealing with both of those things at the same time. And that was probably the biggest challenge for me.
So as that relates to the show, Get the Funk Out, how did you deal with that when baseball was your dream?
I probably didn't handle it the greatest, if I'm being completely honest. I went to a very dark place for a while, mm-hmm. and I just felt very lost. I didn't know who I was without baseball, and I had a really hard time figuring that out without my dad being there to help kind of guide me and talk to me.
Yeah.
And so traversing that, like, tough terrain was really challenging for several years, and I kind of threw myself into the entertainment and the arts as an outlet, honestly. I started to pursue acting first, and that was a way for me to kind of process my grief and process a lot of these emotions without having to, you know, really talk about what it was.
Oh yeah.
And I was very closed off and private, but that was a way for me to kind of start processing. And then it became clear to me, you know, a year or two in, I'd gotten an agent, I'd gotten a manager, I'd done auditions and all that, but acting wasn't really where my passions were. And that's what led me to, you know, producing and writing and directing. And, but I would say that the arts, putting my emotions and my heart and my soul into all these creative endeavors, opened up doors for me to process my grief and mm-hmm. missing my dad and trying to understand, you know, his passing. It took a long time, though.
I'm sure.
They say that everybody grieves differently, and yeah. that's very, very true. Just seeing my mom and my sisters process it, I think I kind of got, I was numb for several years, and then all of a sudden I just really started to experience a lot of the feelings of loss and mm-hmm. missing him and the anger that comes with all that. But being able to do something creative really, really helped me nurture that and put it into something more productive.
No, I love that. And thank you for sharing that, by the way. I feel that acting is just a way, a place to put our feelings, our emotions, to grieve, to learn something else. And I also, in hearing your story, I feel like, you know, that period of time for acting was important to get you where you are now. It, you know, it's great you did it.
Absolutely. I don't regret it at all. I had great experiences. I learned a lot about myself during that time, and it gave me something productive to do, and I learned about the industry, and it really helps inform what I do now, especially as I pursue more of a career in directing. I really know how to work with actors. I know how to talk to actors because I've been in those positions.
Sure.
A lot of directors, all they've really studied is the camera and, you know, composition and you know, storytelling, which is all very important, but you have to be able to communicate with your actors. And I think that time pursuing that and learning that really helped me understand where the actors come from. And, you know, I really treasure those moments where I get to, you know, collaborate and talk to actors about performances and whatnot. And so I definitely wouldn't have had that had I not gone through those years of studying acting and,
yes.
and really pushing myself emotionally to, you know, put my heart and soul into these endeavors.
Well, also you develop a sense of empathy and understanding for what it's like to be in their shoes and how to get the best performance maybe out of them as a director.
Yeah, no, yeah. 100%. And I learned a lot about how to stay present when you're feeling very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think that's incredibly important. And it's a skill that not many people have. And I didn't have it beforehand because I was constantly trying to run away from all the really big feelings that I had deep down that I was trying to ignore. And acting, taking a lot of these intense dramatic scene classes really forced me to confront a lot of that. And, you know, I'm very grateful for my time pursuing acting because yeah. I think it really helped me process in a way that I wasn't aware of at the time, but looking back, it really did assist me in that way.
That's fantastic. It's, for me, it's been at times a form of therapy.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Andrew Davies Gans. He is the son of Danny Gans, who is just a dazzling Vegas entertainer with so many talents and impressions. Were there some impressions that really stuck with you that you found yourself trying to emulate?
No, I don't do impressions or anything like that, mm-hmm. but there are, I do have my favorites for sure.
Such as?
I think the one that is my favorite is probably Sammy Davis Jr., where my dad sings Bojangles, which is very important for the reason because my dad was truly inspired by Sammy Davis Jr. And when he was at a point in his life where he lost his way, he wanted to be a baseball player as well, and he also suffered a career-ending injury. During the time when he was recovering from that injury, his dad took him to go see Sammy Davis Jr. And my dad had always had this ability to do impressions and make people laugh, and it was a hobby, really.
Yeah.
But then when baseball ended, he needed something to do, and when he saw Sammy Davis Jr. perform, he sang, he danced, he did comedy, he even did a little, some impressions, and he took people on a ride during his performance. He wasn't just standing up there singing songs.
Sure.
And that was a moment for my dad where he realized that's what he wanted to do. And when he performed Sammy Davis Jr. in his show, singing that song, Bojangles, it's a really special moment when you see it through that lens and understand how pivotal Sammy Davis Jr. was in my dad's life. And you can really get a sense for how important and how much respect he had for him when you see him perform that song.
I love that. Did you learn a lot more about your dad in making this film and also about yourself?
Yes, to both, absolutely. I think I learned a lot about my dad, both good and bad. But I developed a deep understanding and empathy for all the struggles that he went through. I felt he must have been very lonely during, you know, the last few years where his health really started to suffer because he didn't want to burden us, his kids, with those things. Mm-hmm. So he tried to, you know, put on a good face as much as possible. And he definitely had my mom to lean on, and he would confide in her. But he kept wanting to get out on stage and perform and push his body beyond the limits that, you know, he should have set for himself, and that ultimately led to his passing. But instead of getting angry and saying, you know, why didn't you just retire or why couldn't you just take time off, you know, I tried to put myself in those shoes and understand how driven and passionate and how much my dad loved performing for people.
Yeah.
So I could understand why he made those decisions. And also, my dad had this deep need to, you know, entertain, deep need for approval, I think,
mm-hmm.
that stemmed from the relationship that he had with his father.
Makes sense.
And I think that that really drove him to push himself, which was one of his greatest strengths. His drive, his ambition, and his work ethic were definitely his greatest strengths, because he wouldn't have developed his talent without those things. But it was also, in the end, became his greatest weakness because he didn't know when to stop. He couldn't walk away from entertaining. He couldn't walk away from the show because he just needed to feed that need.
Yeah. Well, look at the audience and the people just adored him.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that just, I don't think I could really understand it, but when you're up on stage in front of thousands of people and everybody's on their feet cheering and clapping, mm-hmm. I could only imagine what that feels like and how you would want to go back every single night to get more of it. It must be an extremely exhilarating experience and truly something that everybody should experience, but very few people do.
Sure. For people that do not know about your dad, how would you describe him?
As an entertainer or as a person?
Both.
As an entertainer, I would say he was a perfectionist. I would say he's multi-talented, singing, impressions, dancing. He could make you laugh. Mm-hmm. He could make you cry. And his show was structured in such a way that was meticulous. He would start the show, and he would, you know, crank it up to 100 miles an hour and really grab your attention with high energy, upbeat music. And then he would kind of slow it down for a couple beats, and then he would bring you back up again and then slow it down. And it was always an ebb and flow, and something that he tried to take you on a journey and tell a story through his show, and also, you know, let you see who he was as a person.
Sure.
And be vulnerable and share things about his life with you, and really make you feel like you are watching his show in his living room, not in a theater with 2,000 other people.
Sure. His impressions were stellar. I was on YouTube the other day just watching clips that fans had taken of his shows, and just the spot-on impressions were incredible.
Did you have one that stuck out to you more?
I mean, you know, what he was doing, Elvis, he was doing, gosh, there were so many. I mean, and Michael Jackson, and Garth Brooks was so funny, and Tom Jones, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Jones was one that he had done for many years, and everybody just seemed to love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Jones, Frank Sinatra, Elvis, obviously, was always a big hit.
Yeah.
But he would always reinvent the show and add new numbers depending on, you know, what was really big at the time and what was a voice he could potentially do. And he was always adding stuff to it to keep it current. And I think that's one of the reasons why people kept coming back, is because they felt, you know, if I come back next year, I'm going to see my favorites, mm-hmm. but I'm also going to see like 25% new material.
Right.
And my dad had so much material. He could do the show three nights in a row, and every night probably 50% of it would be different.
Which is remarkable how anyone could do that.
And it was honestly based a lot on the response that he would get in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the show. And based on how the audience would react to that, he would know what material he wanted to do next. And then he would, like, kind of signal to the band in a subtle way what direction they were going to go. And he would have those beats planned into the show every probably 10 to 15 minutes in a 90 to 100-minute show.
It reminds me of, really, improv. When you go to an improv show and someone says, throw out a word, and you're like, broccoli. You know, and he just... knew how to go with the flow and create on any moment.
Yeah, and that is true. But it wasn't something that was necessarily natural. I think he really trained quite hard to read the audience, mm-hmm. and to understand what they were looking for, what they wanted, what they would respond well to. And just over years and years doing all those corporate gigs that he did in the 80s and early 90s, that was kind of the testing ground for him, where he really trained and honed his craft. And when he arrived in Vegas, he was so polished, but he was also so unknown. I think that's why he kind of took the town by storm, because he was ready for the occasion,
yeah.
but nobody knew who he was, and he just blew everybody away.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it. What else would you like us to know about the film?
Well, the film is not just, you know, the story of my father. I think that's a, you know, biographical documentary that's been done thousands of times. And I wanted to bring layers to this. So the film follows my journey to tell my dad's story, because it's inspiring, and it's a very important story for people to understand. It's inspiring. It's also a bit of a cautionary tale. And so you follow me learning about him and telling his story, because my dad passed away when I was a teenager, and I wanted the opportunity to get to know him better as an adult.
Sure.
And during the process of making the film, I got married, and my wife and I, we had our first child.
Double congratulations. Double congrats, getting married and having a child.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And my my daughter's birthday is actually on my dad's birthday.
No, what? Come on. That is beautiful.
Yeah, and so it was incredible. I get chills every time I talk about it. And I was fortunate enough to capture all of this and put it into the film. So
that's beautiful.
It's a father-son story, a son, you know, looking for answers, trying to get closer with his dad, mm-hmm. while also honoring his life and his legacy. And but it's also an opportunity for me to kind of process and learn about myself and feel, not necessarily figure out what I want to do with my life, but feel more confident in my decision making and in my path. And I feel much closer with my dad through the process.
That's beautiful.
I feel more confident in myself and you know, my creative endeavors and my ability to be a great husband and a good father. And so I don't think I would have had those things had I not gone on this really grueling and difficult process. But it was all worth it.
And
I would do it 100 times again.
And meant to be.
Yes, absolutely. I do feel like it all came together at the right time. We had several production obstacles that slowed us down. COVID shut us down for over a year. We lost a lot of our investors due to that, so we had to start up from scratch again. But had all those delays not happened, we wouldn't have been able to have my daughter being born in the film, or me getting married, or a lot of this mm-hmm. personal journey that I went on. We would have finished the film very quickly. It would have been a good biographical documentary. I would have felt like I did the job well, but what actually came of it is quite special and something that I personally haven't seen really at all.
Well, congratulations. This is fantastic. And I'm sure along the way, it just felt, you know, very healing. And to be able to create something out of loss is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I feel very grateful for the opportunity and for the experience. And I feel that my family's really proud of the film, which makes me really happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure my dad would be as well. I definitely feel closer with him, which is, if nothing else, making the film was worth it just for that.
You bet. So, Andrew, where can people see this film?
Well, we're in the process of getting a distribution deal. So in the coming months, I'll be making an announcement on socials, and we'll probably have some press in the trades about where this is going to be. But for now, you could just kind of follow me on Instagram at Gans_Andrew, and I'll be updating. And in the coming months, it will be released, and hopefully millions of people around the world will enjoy this film.
You know, one last question I want to ask you is, are there organizations or any places you could reach out to in Vegas, or maybe you've done this, where he was a performer, and see if there could be some kind of screening locally?
Yes, we are in the process of doing that, and I can't really dive into that too much, but I will say 100% there will be a screening in Las Vegas prior to the release of the film, and it'll be a big celebration of my father's career, the film, and the release of the film.
Beautiful. Congratulations. Andrew, thank you so much for calling in. If you've missed any part of my conversation with Andrew, it will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. The show blog again is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Andrew, it's been a pleasure. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Be well. Take care. If you missed any part of this conversation with Andrew, as I said, it'll be up within an hour after I wrap. I was talking with Andrew Gans, who produced this beautiful documentary called Voices, The Danny Gans Story About His Dad. It's a heartfelt documentary. Danny Gans was a legend in Vegas. So up on the show blog, you'll see the movie poster for the film and information about Andrew, about the film, and all the different people involved in the film. And Andrew was the director and the writer on the film, as well as the producer. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.